Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Toronto City Church. As I say every week, it is so good to see you. It is so good to connect as a church family via technology. As I also say every week, I really wish we were here together in person, but it is what it is for the time being. I'm still thankful that God is with us, that we can continue to move forward as a church family. And this is a season, this too shall pass. And before we know it, we're going to be back together. But I'm excited today to continue our sermon series, The Thrill of Hope, and to continue to talk to you about hope, to continue to talk about the power of hope, to continue to talk about the hope that is in Jesus. And so let's pray and let's jump in. We're excited, obviously, coming up the end of this week, we have Christmas. And so I'm sure you're excited about that. Your household's excited, even with maybe some of the limitations and challenges we're facing. We are still going to have an amazing Christmas. And I want you, that's part of hope, right? Hope is expecting good even in the midst of challenges. It's expecting God to come through even when things aren't maybe what we thought they would be or aren't the way we thought it was going to go. We still have hope. And so let's pray and then we're going to jump right in. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you today once again for this opportunity we have to go to your word. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have today to talk about hope and to grow in hope and to abound and be filled with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so I pray for every person that's tuning in, speak to them, minister to them. Let it not be my words as much as your words that they hear. And Lord, I thank you that not only are we going to be hearers, but we're going to be doers, Father. And I just thank you, even in this season, that you are causing us to grow and to abound and to overflow in hope in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, amen. All right. Well, let's go to Zechariah, back to Zechariah 9, verse 12. Again, it's our core text very much for this series. And it says this, "Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double." Again, we've been reading as well from the Message paraphrase translation, which says, "Come home, hope-filled prisoners. This very day I'm declaring a double bonus. Everything you've lost, return twice over." And so as we've been saying, and just really one of the words of the Lord in this season to us is, yes, 2020 has been difficult and challenging. Even as we come into 2021, there's still difficulties and challenges and things that we have been facing. But God wants us in the middle of this to be prisoners of hope. God wants us in the middle of this to rise up in hope. He is calling us to abound in hope, that we would finish 2020 in hope, that we would come into 2021 filled with hope, irregardless of the circumstances, irregardless of what's being said in the news and the media around us and the challenges that's being faced. And yes, I understand there's very real natural things that are going on, but God said even in the middle of that, I'm calling you to be prisoners of hope. I'm calling you to abound in hope. I'm calling you to overflow in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And his promise to us is I'm going to give you double for your trouble. And I want to encourage you just to lock into that word. I'm saying it every week, but you lock your faith in, you lock into believe God and say, God, yes, I receive it. I trust you, right? Because so many with these prophetic words, they're not just automatic. It's our job to receive them and to engage with them in faith. It's our job to take them and say, okay, I'm holding on to this and I'm running with this. And so you take it, you hold on to it, you run with it, you declare over your life, you declare over your family, you declare over your situation, I'm getting double for my trouble. Amen? And so this is what we're standing on even as we come into the new year. Yo, we've been talking about how Bible hope is a joyful, confident expectation that good is coming. We've talked about how us as Christians should be the most hopeful people ever. Normal Christianity is a Christianity that's filled with hope. We have talked about how God is a God of hope. We are called to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we also spent some time focusing on this statement from Francis Frangipane where he said that any area of our life that does not have glistening hope is under the influence of a lie. And so there's been so many things that we've been focusing on in hope, even in the Faith Fuel video devotionals the last couple weeks. And if you haven't got a chance to watch them, go and watch them because I've been talking about practical tools and keys to being prisoner of hope. And so we've covered so many different angles of hope and so many different truths and principles around hope over the last couple weeks. But today, as we are nearing Christmas, as Christmas Day is coming up at the end of this week, I want to talk to you very simply about Jesus Christ, our living hope. So today I want our focus to be on Jesus Christ, our living hope. You know, this series is called The Thrill of Hope, and that phrase actually you probably will recognize because it comes from a well-known and popular Christmas carol. It says, "O holy night, the stars are brightly shining." And no, I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it. This is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks, come on, this is getting prophetic, a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Right? That line just jumps out to me. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. Family, you know it. I know it. Right now, we're in a world that is weary. We are weary in this world of the challenges of 2020. We are weary of COVID-19. We're weary of lockdowns. We're weary of just conflict. There is so much that this world is weary of, and this world is looking desperately for hope. People around us, they may not even know how to articulate it. They may not even know how to say it. They don't, sometimes, because it's like you're looking for something that you never even knew you truly existed, but people are looking for hope. We need to stay rooted and grounded in hope. But there is a weary world around us. I mean, it was always the case. But I think in this time and age, which is a time, let me encourage you, get ready for harvest. Even as we come into the new year soon, as we come into 2020, I declare it's a year of harvest in Jesus' name. It's a year of people turning their eyes off all these worthless things that have captured their attention because now they're falling apart and putting their eyes on Jesus and looking to him. But we're in a weary world. They're looking for hope. And it is not going to be a nice philosophy that's going to give hope. It is not going to be a medical breakthrough. I mean, that'll help with people, but it's not truly going to give true hope. True hope is coming through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our living hope. Right, let's look at 1 Peter 1 verse 3. And 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, for he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Family, we know this. This is part of what we remember and what we celebrate even in this time at Christmas. But Jesus came. He lived on the earth. He died. He rose again. And because of this, you and I have a living hope. We have a living hope because of Jesus. We have a living hope because Jesus came and he came to earth for us. We have a living hope because he lived and he taught and he patterned for us how we could follow in his footsteps and how we could follow him. We have a living hope because he went to that cross and he died for us. But most importantly, we have a living hope because he rose again. Family, I want to declare to you today, hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. Hope is not just an abstract concept that we hope we can kind of connect to feel good about. No, Bible hope has a name. It is not just a feeling. It is not just a posture, even though it can create a posture. But at its essence, hope is living. And that hope we have is found in Jesus. Now, let me take a few moments today to tell you about why we have hope in Jesus. See, first and foremost, Matthew 12:21 says, "And in his name, the Gentiles will hope." Again, in his name, this is the name of Jesus, the Gentiles will hope. See, Gentile in the scriptures, sometimes we, you know, hear this word. What does it mean? Gentile simply means without God, right? And we were all without God. And because we were without God, we were without hope. Right? And that's really the essence of it. But Jesus came to reconnect us with God. And that was reconnecting us with hope. Let's look at Ephesians 2:12-13. I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation. And Ephesians 2:12-13 says, "In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, and now you've been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. See, family, we were without God. And I want us to take a moment, because I know everyone's probably listening, and most people, if not everyone's going, yeah, okay, I know that. We were without God. But let's stop. Let's let that sink into us for a few moments. We were without God. We were without God. And because we were without God, we were without hope. Without Jesus, we had no hope. But because Jesus came and he is our living hope, we have hope. Why? Because he came to reconnect us with the Father. He came to see us saved, redeemed, transformed, but reconnected with the Father and reconnected with hope. Jesus Christ is our living hope. And today, you can be filled with hope. You can abound in hope. Why? Because you've been reconnected with the Father by Jesus Christ. That's one of the things we are celebrating this Christmas season. We are celebrating that he came to close that gap. He came to reconnect us with the Father. Jesus Christ, our living hope. Number two, why is Jesus Christ our living hope? Well, Colossians 1 verse 5 says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. And I want you to focus on this phrase with me, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. So not only do we have a living hope in Jesus because he's reconnected us with God, and instead of being without God and without hope, we are now with God and we are with hope, right? Because God is the God of all hope. There's this connection. But also we have a hope laid up for us in heaven. Because we've been brought near to God, because we've been brought into hope, because we've been redeemed, we now have the hope of heaven. Family, again, this is a foundational concept, but hear me today. We have hope in Jesus because we have this hope of heaven. Eternity is real. Heaven is real, right? The Bible teaches us that it's not just about this life. It's not just about this world. We are here for really in light of eternity, but a moment. But we're here in this world for 60, 70, 80, I mean, it could be shorter, it could be longer years. I pray for all of us, it is kind of longer, but we're here for, but even if you live over 100, compared to eternity, what is that? And then when we die, we don't just cease to exist. We don't just disappear or go into some kind of, kind of disconnected state. But the Bible says to be absent with the body, from the body is to be present with the Lord. Where is the Lord? Well, he is currently seated in heaven. Right? Jesus is seated with him in heavenly places. So we become present with him and we're in heaven. And heaven is this incredible, beautiful, mind-blogging, you can't even describe it, amazing place that God has prepared for us. Furthermore, the book of Revelation teaches us that at the end of this age, Jesus is going to return and there's going to be an establishment of a new heaven and a new earth. We have hope in heaven, right? It's not just about this life or what we're going through right now. Or what we're facing right now, or what we're dealing with right now. There is hope in him, and there is a hope in heaven for each one of us. And I want to encourage you today, even as we're reflecting on Christmas, we're reflecting on the gift that God has given us. Even as we're reflecting on hope, there is hope in heaven. You know, I don't know about you, but so often I can get caught up just in this life. I can get caught up in my frustrations, I can get caught up in my difficulties, I can get caught up in my challenges, and I can totally lose sight of the fact that, yo, even if it's hard right now, even if it's difficult, even if certain things aren't going the way I want it to go, I still have hope in eternity. I have hope in heaven. I mean, I'm not trying to go there right now. But in the grand scheme of eternity, why do I get so bogged down by certain things? There is hope in heaven. Let me read to you from Revelation 21, 1 to 5, that just talks a little bit about this hope in heaven. Just scratches the surface. This is, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is what Jesus is going to bring. For the old heaven, the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow or crying or pain. And all these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And they said, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. Isn't that powerful? Every tear gone. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Guys, we do live in a world where there's still trouble, there's challenges, there's things that are gone, but we have a hope in heaven. Jesus came Even we're celebrating this week him coming, and he came to give you a hope in heaven. That's number two. Number three, let's look at Ephesians 1, 18 to 19. We're talking again why Jesus is our living hope. And it says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you might know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Now, I'm gonna hustle through this passage because there is so much in here. But guys, not only do we have a hope in heaven, so again, we've talked about the hope that we have because we reconnect with God. This brings a hope in heaven. But not only do we have a hope in heaven, because sometimes people feel like, yeah, I've got a hope in heaven, but I have no hope on the earth right now. No, not only do we have a hope in heaven, but we also have a hope right now. See, it says in this passage, we have hope because we've been called by God. I want to encourage you and challenge you today. You have been called, right? A calling from God is not just for a pastor. It's not just for a preacher. It's not just for really spiritual people, but you have hope because you have a calling. Not do you have hope because you have a calling, but you have hope because you have an inheritance. Not just one in heaven, but an inheritance right now. Why? Because you access an inheritance when somebody dies. You access an inheritance when someone passes away. And Jesus went to the cross and he died so that we could have our inheritance. And then he rose again so that he could help us walk out that inheritance and live in that inheritance. We have hope because we have an inheritance. We have hope because his power is towards us when we believe. Are you a believer today? I'm a believer. I believe that you're a believer. We're learning to walk by faith. We're learning to walk in hope. And when we believe, there is power that is made available towards us. Hey, I'm starting to feel this in my spirit right now. There is power in him. And that power is available to us. You can have hope in the power of God. Not just in heaven. Yes, in heaven. That's so important. And that really, frankly, is more important because it's for eternity. But why not take all that God has for us and receive the calling, receive the inheritance, and receive the power in our lives right now? Because of Jesus, my living hope, I have hope in heaven, but I also have hope in this life right now, today. And so, one last point I want to share with you before we pray and we bring this to a close. We have hope because we've been reconnected with the Father. We have a hope in the reality of heaven. But we also have hope in what he has for us right now. And last but not least, Titus 2:13 says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, at Christmas, we are celebrating to use a more theological term, we're celebrating the incarnation. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus came and was incarnate. He incarnated among us. He came. He was not just up in heaven looking down on us, but he actually literally came among us, the incarnation. And we celebrate the fact that he came. But here's what I want to encourage you in this. The Bible talks about our blessed hope, and that is that he is coming again. Come on, somebody say he's coming again. Guys, Jesus came as a babe in a manger, but one day, and the Bible tells us to look for this, to expect this, to be ready for this. One day he is coming again. And this is what the Bible calls our blessed hope. And he is not coming as a baby in a manger this time, but he is coming as the King of Kings. He's coming as the Lord of Lords. He is coming in the glory and the power and the might of Almighty God. He is coming again. And in the middle of this life, in the middle of the challenges, in the middle of the discouragements, in the middle of the disappointments, in the middle of the battles, in the middle of the uncertainty and the disruption and the unknowing, we have this unshakable hope. We have this hope that we are filled with, that our Lord and Savior is coming back. The Bible says that no man knows the day or the hour. It says it could be tomorrow. It says it could be sometime from now. It tells us don't even worry about the day or hour, but always live with this expectation that he could return. I heard someone say it this way. He says, I'm going to plan in my life like Jesus isn't coming for 100 years, but I'm going to live every day like he is coming that day. Why? Because we have this expectation. We have this living hope. Not only has he connected us with the Father, not only has he made a place for us in heaven, not only is he releasing his life and power to us in this earth, but he is coming again. I love Revelation 1:5-7. It says, and from Jesus Christ, catch this, the faithful witness. I mean, this is who we're celebrating. Yes, he was a baby in a manger, but this is who he is now. and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. Guys, Jesus is coming back. I don't know when. I don't know where. Well, I mean, I know it's going to be here. But I can tell you the Bible says he's coming back. And the Bible says that we should live with this expectation. And so let's live with this living hope. Even as we're talking about hope and being prisoners of hope, remember that hope is not just a theological concept. Hope is not just some kind of random, vague kind of feeling. Hope is a earnest expectation, a joyful expectation that good is coming, that God is with us, and it is manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. And so this Christmas season, can we put our hope in Jesus in a fresh way? In this Christmas season, can we focus on Jesus in a fresh way? In this Christmas season, can we lift up the name of Jesus in a fresh way? Can we remember Jesus Christ, our living hope? And if you're listening today, just as I close, I want to encourage you. If you are strong in your hope, God is saying, build it up even stronger. If you have lost sight of him, if you've lost sight of your hope, I'm calling you back today. Just pray. Go to the Father today. Say, God, bring me back to a place of hope. Bring me back to my focus being on Jesus, my living hope. And if you're listening today and you don't know him, you don't have a real relationship with God, or maybe you did, but you fell away. It's time to come home to hope. It's time for you to come home to hope, because hope is not just a theological concept, but hope is a person. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus, and his arms are wide open to you, and he is calling you home to hope in this time. And so just in closing, I want to speak specifically to that. If you are listening to me and you recognize I'm not right with God, there is so much hope for you. It's not hopeless. You're not done. You're not finished. Maybe you used to fall and you fell away and you feel so guilty. You feel so much shame. God is calling you home to hope. In this Christmas season, come home to hope. Come home to Jesus. And so if you are listening to me, you know you need to do that. I want to encourage you, pray this prayer with me. Let's just all agree together. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you came for me. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you rose again. Today, I'm coming home to hope. Today, I'm coming home to you. I turn my back on sin. I commit my life to you. Fill me, free me, redeem me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, everyone, just say to me, I'm coming home to hope. Come on, somebody say, hope has a name. What's that name? Jesus. Amen. But God bless you. We love you. Thank you for your ongoing giving. Thank you even in this Christmas season. I know there's money going a lot of different directions. Thank you for faithfulness and tithes and offerings. Let's continue to put God first. Let's continue to believe him for that double in our lives. Let's continue to believe him for all that he is doing. If you want information on how you can give, contact us. It's all online right now. We'll give you online information. Thank you as well, in closing, to all our team members who put so much work into this online experience today and who are putting work really into this entire Christmas season. We love you. God bless you. Merry Christmas.